Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He is Daniel Wallach. He is with The Athletic, obviously legal analyst for The Athletic. Joins us as all our guests do on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Daniel, good afternoon to you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on. Perfect timing, right? The hearing just ended.
So, yeah, exactly. So give us an idea. We've been kind of, you know, parsing through different tweets and whatnot and information. Give us an idea of what this final day included. And do you think, if you can, did it lean one way or the other in terms of the NFL or Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, there's been very little amount of news coming out of the hearing. The disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, had instructed the parties that there are going to be no leaks, nothing coming out of the hearing. So all we learned as of about 5 minutes ago is that the hearing finally concluded, not just day three, but the hearing itself, and that there were 3 days of testimony. And while the NFL interviewed 12 women, they only put on the cases of five of the women regarding the allegations made against Watson, which suggests that maybe the NFL didn't find the other seven women credible. That's certainly one possibility. And, one of the issues that I've been harping on over the last couple of weeks is this notion of inconsistent discipline. I mean, the Roger Goodell has made an emphatic statement several years ago that the personal conduct policy applies to everybody, that owners, non-player personnel should be held to an even higher standard, but in actuality, they've been held to a lower standard. And I was curious whether that argument was included and considered within the three-day hearing. And apparently, that was one of the main arguments, one of several arguments made by Deshaun Watson, in that the NFL admitted that their director of security actually investigated Robert Kraft, but they decided not to discipline him for circumstances very similar, maybe not quite as many cases like 24 or 25, but it's essentially a similar kind of fact pattern where Robert Kraft goes to a massage parlor under the auspices of getting a massage, sexual activity occurs, he pays for it, and then he's later arrested. And the only reason he wasn't taken to trial and actually prosecuted to the limit is because his high-priced lawyers found an evidentiary loophole to argue that some of the evidence incriminating him was recorded illegally in violation of other customers' privacy rights. So on a technicality, Kraft escaped the criminal justice system, but that doesn't explain why the National Football League's own investigation basically led to zero suspension. And you could point to similar instances, not just involving Dan Snyder, but also Jerry Jones, who has himself been sued civilly over allegations of inappropriate, sexual misconduct. And those cases either settled or went away. And there's a definite divide between how the league treats its own ownership for some similar alleged misconduct versus how it treats the players. So I've always felt that Deshaun Watson's best argument here isn't going to be nothing occurred and that this doesn't rise to the level of a violation of the personal conduct policy, but almost arguing for some kind of consistency in the discipline. I wouldn't argue that zero would be appropriate, but certainly at the other end of the spectrum, the 1 year that the league seeks on top of the 1 year that Watson has already missed would strike me as disparate discipline when compared to what happened to the other three NFL owners who've been under scrutiny but have not faced any suspension. So that's going to be Deshaun Watson's primary focus, I believe. And as far as the next steps, since this judge is a former federal court judge and this is almost like a trial, she's going to do what every trial judge wants in the federal system. She's going to want post-trial briefs. So my expectation is that she will have ordered the NFL, Watson, and the Players Association to file post-hearing briefs within the next 3 days, and those briefs are limited to 5 single-spaced pages under the collective bargaining agreement, and then that's it. You have 5 pages to sum up your arguments, and she has to rule as soon as practicable, which I would expect as a former federal judge, she will issue and write a very detailed opinion laying out her findings of fact, her findings of law, and her ultimate discipline, if any. And I would expect that the estimated time of arrival on that would probably be over the next couple of weeks, because she's looking ahead a little bit, cognizant of the fact that there's an appellate right that still is available to either side. So if either side is going to take an appeal to the NFL commissioner and then maybe go into federal court, I think she needs to leave enough runway to get all 3 phases completed before the start of the NFL season. And I think she would recognize that and have a ruling within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Daniel, from an optics standpoint, as far as the league's concerned, and we know optics are very important to them, do you think Roger Goodell is going to hesitate a little bit if he wants to, like if he doesn't agree with whatever the discipline is from Sue Robinson, do you think that he would kind of give some pause in terms of, man, do I really want to fight? It's going to be a bad look for us. It's her first case. Or do you think he is hell-bent on making this a year or indefinite, whatever he might be looking for?
Honestly, I think it's more of the latter. Roger Goodell has never seemed too concerned about the optics of over-disciplining players. So if Sue Robinson comes back, first of all, she comes back with no suspension and she finds that there has not been a violation of the personal conduct policy, it's all over. Because under the new CBA, the appeal is limited to modifying the punishment, not overturning the ruling on the merits of whether there was a violation of the policy. So in order for the NFL to actually do what you're suggesting, she has to find some or impose some level of discipline, anything from, you know, could be a fine, a warning, probably a couple of games, and then that's the hook that the NFL needs to actually lengthen the suspension. And they have every right to do that under the collectively bargained terms of the new CBA. It gives the NFL commissioner the right to hear any appeals of disciplinary officer discipline under the first phase of these kinds of personal conduct policy hearings. The players agreed to allow Roger Goodell the right to hear any appeals and also have the right to increase the discipline. So I wonder what the argument is going to be if Roger Goodell does exactly what the players agreed to give him in the latest CBA. Of course, it's a terrible look, and it undermines the sanctity and integrity of having this entire, you know, disciplinary officer process as a sort of a safeguard against favoritism, bias, and, you know, of preferential treatment. He would be actually making a mockery of the entire phase one of the process. If he took a ruling from a 25, 30-year experienced federal district court judge who is the chief judge of the U.S. District Court in Delaware and a non-lawyer such as himself on limited to the evidence that was before Judge Robinson, reaches a completely different outcome when he has zero legal training, no law degree, and he's tipped his hand in the past as being, you know, a little more heavy-handed when it comes to player discipline. Now, while that might set up an interesting federal court case, I wonder how meritorious any later federal challenge would be if all Roger Goodell is doing is extending discipline or lengthening the discipline, which is the very right that the players gave him. It would be a terrible look, and I think the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze, because then there would be a cloud over the entire disciplinary process going forward if he couldn't respect the viewpoint and ruling of somebody with much more legal experience, training, and ability to assess witness credibility than Judge Robinson. So it's really a test of the integrity of this collective bargaining agreement.
And it's fascinating. You know, the idea that the league wants the year and did their own investigation, I'm sure, and know what's going on in this case, at least to some degree. It would be fascinating if she came back and gave, you know, no suspension. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, there are a couple of reasons why she may do so.
Yeah.
I've raised this and I've gotten a lot of pushback on social media over the missed games that Deshaun Watson experienced last year. So many people, particularly in the Houston part of the country, point to the fact that, well, he sat out by agreement with the Houston Texans to honor, I guess, a trade request. But what they're missing, the point that's being missed here is that he was supposed to be traded by the trade deadline, and this cloud hung over him as a result of Roger Goodell's refusal to clarify Deshaun Watson's status as to whether he would be placed on the NFL commissioner's exempt list. And he waited until the offseason before saying, oh, we're not going to do that. By the way, had he done that much earlier, perhaps Deshaun Watson gets traded, plays for the Miami Dolphins, sorry, Cleveland, and is able to resume his career at the halfway mark. Of course, that was never going to happen. But I think some culpability as to the entire season being missed should land at the feet of the National Football League. So I wonder whether Sue Robinson takes some of that into account, whether she takes into account how poorly or inadequately the NFL has disciplined some of the other owners who've been accused of similar acts, maybe not quite as many, but you'd have a hard time convincing me that Robert Kraft had just bad luck on the one and only day he went to that massage parlor in Palm Beach County. I mean, he went for the first time and he got caught. Nobody in their right mind believes that. But there's also the issue that Mike Florio raised earlier today on Pro Football Talk, that while the bar is low from an evidentiary perspective, I've been making the point that all the league needs to prove here is that there is credible evidence of a violation of the personal conduct policy. And I've said credible evidence is the lowest standard in the law. It's less than proof beyond a reasonable doubt. It's less than the kind of proof you need to win a civil lawsuit, which is preponderance of the evidence. It's basically lower than even indicting somebody, right? So the non-indictment shouldn't preclude the NFL prevailing under a credible evidence standard, because certainly somewhere in the stack of witness testimony from five women and police officer, incident reports and all these files with contemporaneous notes as to what occurred, the NFL could hang its hook on some part of that and make a case to Judge Robinson. But Florio pointed out that it's not just the evidentiary standard. You also have to look at the personal conduct policy and some of the grounds for holding Deshaun Watson in violation that would potentially apply here is whether it would undermine the integrity of the National Football League, or whether there was some kind of threat of like violence or some behavior that went above and beyond just mere criminality. There has to have been a legitimate, fear or sense of fear or perception of fear on behalf of the victims. I wish I had the language in front of me, but when you focus on the language and the personal conduct policy, maybe it's not such a slam dunk case, given that these 24 complainants didn't file a police report initially and only surfaced when they acted in concert by filing a series of lawsuits, all represented by the same legal counsel, without there ever being any criminal indictment, and two grand juries refused to return an indictment. So maybe there's some countervailing evidence there, but I have a difficult time believing that Deshaun Watson escapes this disciplinary hearing with zero games or a finding of no responsibility. I think he's going to face some suspension. Maybe I'm wrong, but if he faces any discipline at all, then that puts the NFL on the burden is placed on the NFL now to make a decision as to whether they're going to undermine the sanctity of Judge Robinson's ruling and engineer a different result under the fiction that Roger Goodell would be a fair and neutral appellate court judge. So I think there's going to be some discipline, but the more that I read and the more that I'm seeing come out of the reporting, I get the sense that maybe there could be little to no punishment. But I'm going to put all my chips to the middle of the table on there being some punishment. And I don't know what that amount is going to be, but if there is some punishment, maybe he appeals it, maybe the NFL appeals it, and then we find out if the NFL truly wants an objective disciplinary process and removing the bias and taking it away from the process. Because if they're not going to respect the federal judge's ruling, that tells you all you need to know about how the NFL operates.
I was just I guess to end the conversation, and this has been, you know, great insight, Daniel. We appreciate your time, but that's just it. Like, if you look at this from Sue Robinson's vantage point, and well, everybody's vantage point too, but specifically Sue's, she's going to be like, look, why am I even here? Why did you guys bring me in here if, in fact, it's still going to be the same old as far as Roger Goodell? Like, I do think that's got to play a part in this as far as what the NFL's response will be, if you follow.
Well, another response could be terminating her services. The CBA was negotiated over 2 years ago, and her term is only for 2 years. If the NFL or the NFLPA doesn't like the outcome that's imposed here, either one unilaterally has the right to ditch her as the jointly selected disciplinary officer, and that could be a very short tenure for Judge Sue Robinson. But I'm intrigued by the down the road possibility that if the league decides to appeal an inadequate suspension, and then Roger Goodell unsurprisingly imposes a more severe suspension, the Players Association is going to file a lawsuit to challenge that outcome in a federal district court. And you know where they're probably going to file if they can win the race to the courthouse? They're going to file it in Delaware, because the arbitration took place in Sue Robinson's law office at the law firm of Farnham LLC, which is based in Wilmington. She was on the federal bench in Delaware for nearly 30 years. So I wonder if the NFL likes its chances in federal court in Delaware, where Sue Robinson was the chief judge for a long time, and many of her former colleagues are still on the bench. So you might see an intriguing race to the courthouse, where if there is an appeal and Roger Goodell decides to issue a more severe suspension, he may issue the ruling, and then the NFL quickly runs to federal court in New York and files in the Southern District of New York, just like they did when it came to Tom Brady, and there was that initial race to the courthouse where the Players Association tried to file in Minnesota, and then the league, I think, won the race to the courthouse because they controlled the timing of when the decision was released from Roger Goodell. So they had the jump, filed it in Lower Manhattan, and then Lower Manhattan became the venue for what ultimately became Deflategate. And the league did the same thing in Ezekiel Elliott. When Harold Henderson issued the ruling, ultimately, even though there were earlier proceedings in the Eastern District of Texas, once the arbitration decision was issued, the league ran to New York, bought an index number, and got the case situated there, and that's where they won. So one of the intriguing developments that could occur as early as late July, early August, is who's going to engage in the form shopping and try to select their favorable form, who's going to win that race. But that only happens here, I think, if Judge Robinson issues some suspension and then Goodell decides to increase it.
Daniel, just incredible information. We appreciate your time this afternoon. Great insight into this, and we'll see how it all plays out. But thank you for your time, and best of luck moving forward. We hope to talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on, guys. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right, that is Daniel Wallach, legal analyst for The Athletic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go.
Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.